not from him. But anyway, I'm thankful for that promise. And I'm glad that the Lord is always faithful, aren't you? He'll never disappoint us. Philippians chapter 3 this morning. As we are in the second Sunday of the new year already, 2022. Again, hard to believe that we're already here. We're just now kind of getting our feet wet for the year. But before we know it, we'll be wading out into the deep. And before we know it, we'll be coming out on the other side. And either here or in eternity. Amen. I'm looking forward to eternity myself. I don't know about you, but I am. I'm ready. And every day here on this earth just reminds me of how much more I am excited and ready for the Lord's return. This text that we'll read is a familiar text this morning. Many messages have been taught and preached over the years on this particular subject, but one that the Lord has definitely spoke to my heart here recently about. I jotted those few thoughts down, and I want to share those with you today. But Philippians chapter 3, you found your place if you'll stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'll read verses 13 and 14. Paul here writes by saying, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for Paul bearing his soul and his heart and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he jots down these words. I pray, Lord, that we could learn something today from them, something that will help us, something that will strengthen us, something that will help us to serve you more faithfully. I pray now and ask your blessing upon this message and this service today as we commit all things to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This past August of 2021, I went to one of my doctors. And of course, as you begin to get a little age on you, you dread going to the doctor of knowing what the doctor is going to tell you. And so I'd already anticipated what my doctor was going to tell me. He tells me this every time. He said, "You need to exercise, you need to lose weight, you need to eat better." And he lists a long line of things that of course we know that we ought to do. Amen. Miss Cheryl said amen, nobody else. But thank you, Miss Cheryl, for saying amen. I thank you for agreeing with me. Everybody ought to agree with me. And those that are young, as you get older, you'll know what I'm talking about and you'll know where I'm coming from. But on this particular doctor's visit, I was thankful for what my doctor told me. He said, "I'm just going to tell you one thing. One thing." He said, "I'm not going to tell you to lose weight. I'm not going to tell you to eat better." He said, "Walk at least 15 minutes a day. One thing. If you'll do that every day," he said, "it'll help your health. 15 minutes. One thing. 15 minutes every day." And so for the last 6 or 7 weeks, I've been walking every day. About 30 minutes, though. I walk a little bit longer than the 15 that he asked, but about 30 minutes every day I've been walking. I come in every day and I tell Don, I said, "I hate to walk, but I feel so much better when I do walk." And I have. My joints and everything have felt so much better just by doing that one thing. That one simple thing, I feel better. I don't know if I'm doing better. Hopefully when I go back to my next visit, he'll say, "Hey, you've dropped a few pounds and you look better, and hopefully everything else is better." You know, hopefully I'll get that kind of news. But I've been doing the one thing that my doctor asked me to do. And I'm glad it wasn't a long list. You know, that's what Paul said. And if you'll take this right here into what we do every day. Paul says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." The title of today's message is this: Making the one thing the main thing. Making the one thing the main thing. When I think about Paul and writing this particular thing right here, of course we know that he goes on to say, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. But I think the one thing that Paul was referring to when he says this one thing I do, I believe this was the utmost of Paul's desire and wishes to do. And I believe it's not found in Philippians chapter 3 or Philippians chapter 4 or even in Philippians chapter 2. I believe it's found in chapter number 1. So turn with me back to chapter 1 and I want to look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 of Philippians chapter 1. And I believe this is the one thing that the Apostle Paul was speaking about doing. Verse number 20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I believe the one thing that the Apostle Paul wanted to do, and he was speaking about, the one thing that I do is this, was to magnify and to exalt Jesus Christ. What a statement there. What a statement that he makes there. He wanted and desired to exalt, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, is that your utmost desire? Is that your number one desire, is to magnify the Lord? He said there, whether it be by life or by death. I hope that I can say that today. That's why he said there in verse number 21 of chapter 1, he says, for to me to live is what? Christ. In other words, he said, if I'm going to achieve that goal in magnifying, I am going to have to live for Jesus Christ. If you and I are going to magnify and exalt Jesus Christ in the year of 2022, our current year, then you and I are going to have to live for Jesus Christ. But sad to say, there are so many today, some right here, and even myself at times, that are not focused on what we ought to, but we're focused on ourselves. The Apostle Paul gives us three ways in which he does this. First of all is by forgetting the past. I preached a message week before last, the last Sunday of the year, on the danger of looking back. The danger of looking back. This is one of the ways that the Apostle Paul achieved that goal of magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ in life and in death, was forgetting the things which are behind. In other words, of not living in the past. If we're going to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be what we are currently doing, not what we used to do. Not what we used to be. If we're going to exalt Jesus Christ, it is about living for Jesus Christ today, right now, and in the present. But not only was it forgetting the past, we find that Paul achieved this goal of magnifying the Lord by facing the future. We don't know what the future holds, do we? I'm going to tell you, every day something changes. Things are getting better. And then all of a sudden now things are getting worse. I mean, when we look at the pandemic and all the numbers, I mean, it's up one day and down the next. And we just don't know. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. But if we're going to magnify the Lord, we've got to face the future. We've got to face reality. Life is life. Life goes on. Troubles come our way. We lose people that we love and we care about to death. People get sick. Things happen. But we've got to face reality that life goes on. We've got to continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We can't live in a pity party feeling sorry for ourselves. We can't live on the past. We've got to face the reality of today and what we have before us. And then we find there focusing on the Lord, pressing toward that mark as a runner does, keeping his eyes and his focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way Paul achieved that goal of magnifying the Lord in his body through life and death. Sad to say, we have so many today that are not focused on the Lord, but focused on themselves. It's all about ourselves, our time. It's about our jobs. It's about our lives. It's about our wealth. It's about our possessions. It's about our vacations. It's about our families. It's about our health. It's about our leisure. It's about our entertainment. It's about our pleasure. It's about our wants. It's about our desires. It's about sports. It's about these activities that are going on. But we do not focus on the Lord. If we're going to achieve the goal of magnifying the Lord in our body and life and death, we too are going to have to follow the example of the Apostle Paul by forgetting the past, by facing the future, and by focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes should continually be upon the Lord. Now as we move forward with the message, if you've got a pencil and piece of paper, I ask you to take it out. I want you to jot down just a few things this morning. If you've got a bulletin, you've got paper, and hopefully you've got a pen. Now I realize that when you were in school, you really didn't like to do this because when the teacher came in and said, take out pencil and paper, you knew that there was going to be a pop quiz, right? And so that's what this is today. This is a little pop quiz as we conclude or move on through the message. As we think about these particular things this morning, I want us to be very truthful and I want us to be honest among ourselves. And I want us to answer these questions with one solution. You know, a lot of times we have resolutions, and tonight I may bring a message on resolutions that God has worked in my heart about. But, you know, in resolutions there's a lot of them. But this message this morning is focused on the one thing, one solution to the problems that we may be having in our life. These problems that will prevent us from magnifying God in our body, whether it be through life or death. I hope today that again, is your ultimate goal is to do that. Is to exalt, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in life. We like it in life. But also if we come to that point in time this year in death, that we magnify Him in death as well. If it means my life this year, Lord, I'm willing. I want You to be glorified this year in my life. And if it takes my death, I want You to be magnified. And that ought to be our desire. But this morning I want us to truthfully and honestly answer these questions with one solution. I want you to jot down that one solution for each question. Now, I don't want you to make out a list. One solution. One error. There's one answer. And everybody's answer may be different. But everybody's answer may be the same one. But this is for you. The first question is this. What one thing can I do to improve my relationship with the Lord? I want you to ask yourself that. What one thing can I do to improve my relationship with the Lord? You know, it may be spend more time in prayer. It may be spend more time reading God's Word. It may be being a better witness. It may be more faithful to the house of God. It may be surrendering my life to a new ministry. There's so many things. There's so many answers that it could be. But it could be different to every... The answer could be different for every individual. That's why I said to be truthful and honest with yourself. What one thing can I do? I had to ask myself this question. I had to ask myself, what can I do to improve my relationship with the Lord? Question number two. What one thing can I do to improve my relationship with my family? Is there room for improvement in your relationship with the Lord? I could truthfully say yes. There's room for improvement in our relationship with the Lord among every one of us. None of us are where we ought to be with the Lord. We can be right with the Lord and not be where we ought to be. Amaziah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. But the second question is, what one thing can I do? Not a list. We're not making out a list. Hey, I can do this, and help my relationship with my family. What one thing can I do to improve my relationship with my family? The answer may be that I may have family devotions with my family every night or every morning before school or before they go off to work or whatever. There could be a multitude of answers that are out there, but every answer may be different, but it has to be your answer. What one thing can I do that will improve my relationship with my family? What about one thing that I can do to improve my marriage? Is your marriage, where is it? Some people's marriage may be on the rocks. They may be right on the brink of destruction. Right on the brink of separation or divorce. And folks, it happens even in the Christian community. I remember how statistically we used to talk about, you know, about divorce among Christians, but today, hey, it far surpasses 50% in the church. Among professing Christians today, it happens. But what one thing can I do to improve my relationship with my family? What one thing can I do to improve my marriage? If I'm a husband, it may be that I love my wife as Christ loves the church. If I'm a wife, it may be that I submit myself or yield to my husband as the spiritual leader in my home. I'm just making suggestions. Those answers may be different. It may be if I spend more time praying for my family every day. It could be a multitude of different answers, but the answer I want is truthfully and honestly what you think and what God lays upon your heart. What one thing can I do to improve my marriage? What one thing can I do to become a better parent? We have parents in here this morning. Parents of children. Bible says that we're to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe part of the testimony of John the Baptist, who was considered no greater man ever born of woman, as Jesus spoke of John the Baptist. But I believe we can contribute John the Baptist's life and his lifestyle to godly parents. Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were godly parents. They feared God. They obeyed God. And I believe that's why John the Baptist turned out the man that he was, because they trained him up in the way that he should go. That's why he didn't err, that he stood true and faithful to the Word of God. But what one thing can I do to be or to become a better parent? What one thing? Again, it may be pray. Look at Job. Did Job not pray for his children? Sure he did. He prayed for them every day. I think parents ought to pray for their children every day. Whether you've got young children or whether you've got grown children, you ought to pray for your children every day. I heard a preacher the other day, or back a few weeks ago, and he made comment about praying for his daughter's husband. His daughter was like 9 or 10 years old. You say he was praying for her husband? Yeah, for the husband that God was going to put in her life one day. It's never too early to pray for your children. That may be what improves your relationship with your children. What can I do to become a better parent? Third question is this. What one thing can I do to be a better church member? Now, I brought a message and I made reference to it here a week or so ago. I believe every church member ought to be a saved church member. The one thing that you can do this morning, if you're not saved and you are a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, you can get saved. You can trust Christ as your personal Savior. You can swallow your pride and humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Make a move toward the altar and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be a better church member all the way around. That's one of our problems with so many churches today, and church membership is much of the church membership is lost. One of the things that I was considering here recently, I was thinking about, you know, about Christianity. And you know, when I view Christianity as a whole, your life, my life, all of those out there, church life, is it something that appeals to me? Do I see something within the Christian realm today that would move me to, hey, I want to be a Christian. I want what they have. Do you know what? That ought to be every one of our desire. Is that we ought to be showing the world that, hey, there's something to this Christianity. There's something marvelous. There's something wonderful. But you know, sad to say, when it comes to churches and Christian people, there's so much fussing and fighting and bickering and arguing and complaining that goes on in the church and among Christians today. For the most part, if I was on the outside looking in, I wouldn't want what the church has today. I'm asking today, what one thing can I do to be a better church member? To be a better church member. It may be to get saved, to trust Christ as your personal Savior. It may be to pray for my church or to pray for my preacher. To lift up his hands. It may be a multitude of things, but only one thing that I want you to consider this morning of what you can do to be a better church member in 2022. One thing, not a bunch of things. Of course, read your Bible, yes, pray, all those things, be a witness, pass out gospel tracts, be in church. The list is... It could go on, but one thing that appeals to your heart, that God has spoken to your heart, that will help you. And I'm not saying look at your neighbor over here across the aisle or across the pew, or look at your spouse or look at your children, look at your parents. I'm saying, what one thing can you do to be a better member in 2022? The fourth question is this. What one thing can I do to improve my personal testimony? Every one of us have a testimony. We could say it's our reputation. It's what people see of us, what people think about us. One of these days, we're going to close our eyes in death. And people are going to look back on our lives. What are they going to remember about you? That's your testimony. What kind of man, what kind of woman were you? Every one of us should have a testimony, a godly testimony. You remember Enoch? The Bible said that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. For before his translation, he what? He had this testimony. A testimony that he pleased God. What one thing can we do to improve our testimony? You may be known for a foul mouth. You may be known for an irreverent or an immoral lifestyle. You may be known for lying. I remember a man one time at work. He was talking about another individual that worked for us, and he said this particular man's name, which, by the way, this man is dead now, but he said he made a comment. He said, "Do you know when so and so was lying?" And I said, "Uh-oh." He said, "Every time he opens his mouth." That's what people thought about him. That was the type of personal testimony that he had. Do you want to have that kind of testimony? What one thing can you do to improve your personal testimony for the Lord? Fifth question, what one thing can I do to be more Christ-like at my work? What one thing can I do to be more Christ-like in my work or as an employee? The Bible talks about servants being obedient unto their own masters. What would help us? What would help us to be more Christ-like? Maybe not complain as much. Maybe be more vocal or more Christ-like at work. Be more visible in what we believe and more vocal in what we believe. When the Bible talks about the disciples, the Bible reminds us that one of the things that they could tell was that they had been with Jesus. Question number 6. What one thing can I do to create a greater desire for God's Word? Do we have a desire for God's Word? We know how essential the Bible is to a believer. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Job described God's Word as being more necessary than his necessary food. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they became the joy and rejoicing of my soul." What one thing can I do that will create a greater desire for God's Word? What about just reading God's Word? That's just one of the things. What about adopting a study time, a time more than just reading God's Word? It's important to read God's Word. As I mentioned on Wednesday night, I believe every Christian ought to strive to read their Bible through every year. Did you read your Bible through in 2021? What about in 2020? You definitely had more time. You had more time at home because of the pandemic, because of the virus. Much of your time, for most of you, were spent at home because there were not places open to go. Did we use that time, that valuable time, to seek more opportunities to read and to study God's Word? We need to adopt. One thing that we might do is adopt a regular time of study. You know, one of the things that we have to do, we have to prioritize these things. We have to make them a priority in our life. What one thing can I do to create a greater desire for God's Word? The psalmist said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is what? My meditation all the day long." Do you love God's Word that way? That much? That you're meditating? That's what I was doing when God spoke to my heart about this message that I'm preaching this morning. I was meditating on that one thought when Paul said, "This one thing I do." I was meditating. And God spoke to me and challenged my heart on these thoughts here. Question number 7, what one thing can I do to improve my prayer life? How important is a prayer life to a child of God? So important. So important. As I mentioned Wednesday night, I was preaching on the subject of prayer this past Wednesday night. And I mentioned a thought that I had shared many times before, but it's not original to me, but I heard it back years ago that there are 3 talks that a Christian ought to have every day. Number 1, they ought to allow God to talk to them through His Word. Number 2, every Christian ought to talk to God through prayer. Number 3, everybody ought to talk to somebody else about Jesus every day. But definitely prayer is a part of that. Psalmist said in Psalms 55 verse 17, at morning, evening, and noon, what? Will I cry aloud and He shall hear my voice? In Luke chapter 18 verse number 1, the Bible reminds us that men ought always to do what? Pray and not to faint. You know what the number one desire of the apostles were in the book of Luke, chapter 11, in verse number 1? They said, "Lord, do what? Teach us to pray." It was a priority in their life. They wanted their prayer lives to improve. And what did Jesus tell them? The one thing that they needed to do was to pray. You want to improve your prayer life? And there may be other things that will help you improve in your prayer life, but nothing will improve your prayer life any better than just praying. Practice it. Practice it every day. Practice it at evening and morning and at noon. Practice it between meals. Practice it at work. Practice it at school. Practice it at church. Practice it out in the field. Practice it everywhere you go. But spend time in prayer. Question number 8, what one thing can I do to give me a greater burden for the lost? Of course, we know the Great Commission commands us and tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As He describes it in Acts chapter 1, we're to be witnesses unto Him, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world or earth. Paul had a desire. Paul had a burden. In Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1, I believe it is. But Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved." Do we have a burden for the lost like that? If we don't, there's something wrong. Have we lost that burden for the lost? Have we? What can we do? It may be to pray. I remember when preachers used to say, "Come to the altar and pray. God give you a burden for somebody lost." How many of you got a lost loved one this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you got a lost loved one? Somebody you know, a mama, a daddy, sister, brother, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousin. Somebody has a lost. How many of you have a lost co-worker that you know of? Raise your hand if you've got a lost co-worker. How many of you got a lost neighbor that you know of? Maybe a friend or a companion. Our hands could go up and up and up and up. We know lost people out there. What kind of friend are we? What kind of friend are we to those people, to our loved ones, to our co-workers, to our employers or whoever else it may be that are lost if we don't share the gospel with them? What about the little clerk there at the teller window when you go through the bank or you go through the grocery store checkout aisle there and you think about them? Somebody maybe you don't even know. Are you burdened for their soul? Do you have a desire that they get saved? Maybe they're already saved, but how are you going to know unless you confront them with it? As I shared with you back several years ago when I was pastoring in Indiana, the short time that I was there, Don and I went into a, I think it was a drugstore. May have been a Rite Aid type of drugstore back in that day and up there where we were living at the time. And I remember giving this little cashier, this little girl, she was probably in her early 20s, and I gave her a gospel tract, and I told her, I said, young lady, I said, if you'll read that, I said, it'll tell you how to be saved and go to heaven one day. And you know what she did? She wadded it up. She wadded it up just like this right here and threw it in the trash. I said, God help you, ma'am. God help you, ma'am. I hope that young girl got saved one day. That's been over 30 years ago when that happened. I hope she's saved, but if she still had that mentality, she died and she's dead today, she is in hell. And it breaks my heart to think about that. Just as I was out canvassing the area one time years ago, and I knocked on a door, and I talked to a lady, and I said, ma'am, I said, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? She said, no, I don't, and I don't care to know Him. I said, ma'am, do you realize that if you die without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to die and go to hell? She says, I know it and I don't care. I still think about that lady every day. And I today do not know whether she's alive or dead. Because this was a random knocking at the door, door-to-door visitation when I knocked on that door. I don't know. I tried to give her the Word of God, and she rejected it. But I had a burden for her soul. Just like Miss Janie, who I've shared the story many times about, who was a devout Catholic lady, who Don and I both had tried to witness to on numerous occasions. And the night that she died in the hospital, that afternoon, I went to the hospital room and I pled with her soul. I said, Miss Janie, I said, you've got to be saved. Your rosary, your communion, your Hail Marys, all the prayers that you prayed to Mary, your Catholic Church is not going to get you to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only thing that will get you to heaven. And I said, you need to be saved. And Miss Janie, who was a loving and a dear friend and a neighbor, she looked at me and she said, get out of this room and leave me alone and let me die. And sad to say, Miss Janie, and it still breaks my heart today when I think that she is in hell today. Because the testimony of the nurses that night was that she was screaming out prior to her closing her eyes in death and the last breath that she ever took, she was screaming to the top of her lungs. She said, I'm in fire, I'm in fire. I can feel the flames of hell. But I was there witnessing to her. What one thing is it going to do to bring back the burden for the lost that we need? Not a bunch of things. Not a list of things. What one thing do we need that'll bring back the burden for the lost? Question number 9. We've just got 10 questions. We're getting close. What one thing can I do to help? What one thing can I do to help my pastor? Think about that. I'm one man. I can't do it alone. I can do it with God's help. And I realize, now don't get me wrong, you've heard me preach it before, that one man in God is always a majority. God will use one man that is completely and totally surrendered and sold out. But as a church, we've got to look at it like this. We're a team. We're a team. One of the things that I appreciate about the young man, Mr. Young, who won the Heisman Trophy. At that presentation, first of all, he gave the Lord, Jesus Christ, the glory. And then second of all, he realized and he told the world that was viewing that night, he said, I couldn't have won this without the boys that were around me, my line, my other teammates. Folks, I'll tell you this tonight or this morning as you pastor, there are things that I can do with the Lord's help only. But when it comes to church, we're a team. We're a team. We've got to work together. We've got to pray together. We've got to study together. We've got to serve together. But what one thing can I do? It may be to pray for me. I appreciate your prayers every day. I fight battles. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I wrestle not with flesh and blood. Sometimes I wish my battles were physical. Sometimes I feel like the battle would be easier for me to fight if it was a physical battle where I could put up my dukes and I could go at it. But as Paul said, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this wicked world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What one thing can I do to help my pastor? To help my preacher. What one thing can I do to help my church? What one thing can I do? We've preached over the years many times time, talent, and treasures, haven't we? All of those are important. But just pick one. It may be your time. Give more time to the church. It may be give more talents to your church. It may be give more treasure to your church. Give more money to your church. But what one thing can I do to help my church? What one thing can I do to help my fellow man, my brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul said in the book of Galatians, as we have therefore opportunity, he said, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. What one thing can I do to help? Question number 10, and the last question is this. What one thing can I do to improve my spiritual health? I was concerned with my physical health when I went to the doctor. And he said, I'm going to give you one thing to do. One thing. One thing, he said, walk. Walk. I know there's a multitude of things that you could do for your spiritual health. You may be here this morning and your spiritual health not be real good. I think we ought to be concerned with our physical health. I think we ought to try to be as healthy as we can. I think we ought to do everything that we can to be as healthy as we can, physically speaking. But something that is far more important is our spiritual health. And today there's some that are spiritually sick. Folks, this pandemic where we've gone from Corona to the Delta to Omicron to whatever else that's out there and whatever else may be coming, is no sickness compared to the sickness that people are experiencing spiritually every day. We need to be concerned with our spiritual health. maybe the number one thing that we need to do for our spiritual health is just start walking with God. Amen? Because that's what Enoch did. Enoch walked with God. What did he do? He just walked out of this life right on into heaven. You know, that's what I want. I want to walk with God and just walk out of this world one day. I want to walk out, though I may not be physically healthy, but I do want to walk out spiritually healthy. And if this is the year for it, I want to go out that way. God has given us one life. We're talking about one this morning, one thing. God has given you one life. The amount of time that we live is based upon God's grace. I was talking to Brother Ron after Sunday school this morning. You heard the words or the testimony of a lady named Betty White, one of the golden girls. She passed away at 99 years old. 99 years old. When I asked about certain things of her life, one of the things that I saw was she talked about eating hot dogs and drinking vodka. She was just a couple of weeks, she would have turned 100 years old on the 17th day of January of this year. She lived 99 years. 99 years. And though I don't know, but most likely from that testimony, she's probably in hell. 99 years of wasted years. God's given us one life. One life. Let's use it for Him. Amen. Let's use it for Him. Let's make that one thing, our life, the main thing. The main thing. And Paul said with his life, he wanted to live it for Christ and he wanted to exalt the Savior. I hope that's your answer today. Amen? Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for liberty to share, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart. I pray that as the precious seed has been sown this morning, and as we've contemplated these areas of our life and one thing maybe that could make a difference and change things about for the better, I pray that we've answered truthfully and honestly today. And Lord, not only have we answered, maybe put these down on paper, or maybe we have thought them in our heart and in our mind, I pray now those answers that have been submitted, Lord, would be put into place and into practice in our lives. Lord, it's no good to just know, to just have a knowledge. That knowledge must be put into practice. Help us to put these things into practice, I pray. In all these areas of our life, may they be used for the purpose of exalting you, whether in life or whether in death. Bless now this invitation. Have your will in it all, for we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.